The topic of this year is Simcha Even Though. My son Shlomi recently went to a shir on Chovos Halvavos where the refreshments were watermelon and chalet. I think I texted you this, right? I'm not sure.
I don't remember this, but that's funny.
Okay. So why dafka watermelon and chalet? Because as the Rav explained, you have no idea how either one will turn out. So it's useless to worry. Just rely on Hashem. Those are very cute refreshments for a shir on Emunah B'Tachon. Okay. I chose the title Simcha Even Though for our weekly shir because if a person decides that he'll only be happy when every single thing is going perfectly, he'll pretty much never be happy, right? The goal realistically is to hold on to Simcha for dear life, even though the bank account is almost empty, even though one of the children has you very worried, even though Shalom Bayis might be going through a rough patch, even though you're very unhappy with your looks, whatever it is that's threatening to destroy your Simcha, I'd like to minimize its power. And I'm hoping that at least for these 30 minutes a week, you'll experience some Simcha and maybe be able to carry some of it into the rest of your week and Shabbos. Okay, so
Amen.
Let's get started. Sorry?
I just said amen.
Okay, we could all use it. So why is it that the people who have exactly what we're missing seem unhappy, right? I'm unhappy because I'm missing this thing. This person has it and they're not happy. So you might think to yourself, how can that person ever complain? I'd give everything to look like that, to have that family situation or those talents, that honor, that job, whatever else it is that you don't have and they have. How could it be, you might think, that the very blessing you're praying for every day that you would be so happy and grateful for if you got it, how could it be she has it and she's not even happy? So you know what the answer is? Two possibilities. Number one is that person's looking at what she's missing. She doesn't realize how many people would give everything to have what she has. Number two is, in addition to the bracha, she also has real pain and suffering, which you know absolutely nothing about. So you envying her is really a wasted emotion because you don't see her crying into her pillow at night, waking up at 4 a.m. in agonizing physical pain, or waking up at 4 a.m. because that's when the addict in her family walks through the door. You really don't know. My son Avigdor taught me that in the Aseres HaDibros by Lo Sachmod, the Pasuk in Parshas Yisro says, Lo Sachmod, do not covet, Beis Re'echa, the home of your fellow Jew. Lo Sachmod, do not desire, Eishes Re'echa, the wife of your fellow Jew. Va'avdo, va'amaso, and his servant, and his maidservant, v'shoro, v'chamoro, and his ox, and his donkey, and the final words, v'chol asher lo'echa, on everything belonging to your fellow Jew. So why does the Torah first specify every single thing one might envy, and then say, don't envy anything he has? We could just go straight to the end, and say, lo sachmod, es kol asher lo'echa, right? Don't covet anything that your friend has. Why do we first specify a bunch of things and then say, and don't be jealous of anything? So the answer is we're meant to learn from this. You're jealous of this thing? Well, it comes along with this. You're jealous of that thing? You really know what it's like? Meaning, if you're going to envy your neighbor, envy his whole life, the whole package deal, problems and all. My son Avigdor said that when he shared this pshat that he thought of with his Rebbe told him that the Sat Marav holds that this is what it means. This is the explanation of why we first hear, don't be jealous of this, don't be jealous of this, don't be jealous of this, don't be jealous of anything. Because all those things that you're jealous of come with the whole package and you wouldn't want the whole package. I remember hearing Diane Dunner, this is like 1991, 92. He said in a shir, a true story, that this guy used to watch his friend cruising by in his Rolls Royce every single day. And he had this like Nebuchadnezzar jalopy and it used to kill him. It used to eat him up inside. How come my friend gets to drive this beautiful car every day and I'm stuck with this old piece of junk? Until he found out where the friend was driving every day. You know the story?
No.
Every day he was driving himself to dialysis. Suddenly, that put the whole thing in perspective. Wasn't jealous of the Rolls Royce, even a drop. So basically, when we zoom out, we gain perspective And very rarely do you truly want everything that the other person has. Also, besides not envying people because we don't know what their lives are really like behind closed doors, we must sincerely believe that other people are wired to deal with their lives, and we are wired to deal with our lives. Now, some of you are saying, well, no, actually, I'm not wired to deal with my life. I actually have no idea what to do, right? So today I want to address that. There's one very common phrase which most of us have said at least once in our lives, and very likely more than once, as I'm sure you'll agree. Five words. I can't take it anymore. You could put the emphasis any way you like. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. And I can't take it anymore. Any way you say it, everyone has said it. And what do you do when you feel like that? At the moment that you're saying that, you're probably not experiencing simcha, right? So, what's the solution to restoring simcha when you're not just saying you can't take it anymore? You mean it. You're done. So, to answer that, I chose four totally different scenarios, which we're going to follow the whole way through. There's many different examples of people that are at their wits' end, but I chose four, and we're going to use those four examples to follow the whole process. Scenario number one, you've been davening and davening for something, and Hashem seems to be saying no, or not yet, for literally years. We'll zoom in on a woman waiting for a child, but you can switch it with waiting for a shidduch or anything else that fits in here. Scenario number two, you've been struggling with a chronic physical problem for months or for years, and this issue has placed a lot of limitations on your life, and you're just tired. You're tired of it all. Scenario number three, you're a young mother. You have the nightly job of putting a crew of lively children to sleep each night. You start at 7 p.m. Next thing you know, it's 10 p.m., and the same one or two kids are still jumping around the house. Every night, same thing, same kids. Scenario number four, you're being mistreated, either at work by a colleague or a boss, at home by a family member, and it's taking a toll on you. And you can't even relax when the person at work or the relative at home is not near you. You're just so tense. So what do these four totally different situations have in common? Right? The person waiting for a child or a shidduch, the person with chronic pain, the young mother who can't get her kids to sleep, or at least one or two of them, or somebody that's really being mistreated in a serious way. What do they have in common? So I think it's a feeling of powerlessness, feeling utterly and completely powerless. Okay, now if you're not sure about that, let's plug that into each situation and see if it really fits. Number one, a person's begging Hashem for a child or a shidduch year after year. They feel powerless because only Hashem has the key to fertility, not us. Number two, a person begging Hashem for that elusive refuah feels so powerless because only Hashem can send the right shlichim, the right messengers to heal him. It's not in his control. Number three, this exhausted mother. She can read 10 soothing bedtime stories. She can bring 25 drinks of water. She can say go to sleep 100 times, but only Hashem can decide if her children actually fall asleep. When you're dealing with a mean person, only Hashem can either take the meanness in the person away or take away the mean person. You're in a toxic situation, but you can't fix it by yourself. You need Hashem. Now, obviously, this shir is not about giving up. So here we go forward with the path to simcha in each of these situations. You want to feel happier in life. You want solutions. So these are three things you can do in this order. Number one, deep breathing, but really just stop and breathe deeply. Any way that you feel comfortable doing that, whatever type of breathing works for you. Number two, unplug yourself from the situation. Literally, step out of the argument, step out of the room, step out of the house, and sometimes you have to step out of the city, but you need to unplug. Okay, now this is what the part that we're going to spend a little more time on. So number three is ask yourself this very important question. Which part of this situation can I accept? And which part of the situation is really unacceptable? Again, number three, which part of this situation can I accept? And which part of this situation is truly unacceptable? So again, we'll go through the same four scenarios. The person who's waiting for a child. I accept that I have a kind husband and a fulfilling job. I can't accept never having my own child. Right? That's the part that feels like I can't take it anymore. Number two, the person who has chronic pain. I accept that I have a body that helps me in many ways. I can't accept the constant pain or the serious limits on my daily living. That's where the person comes to feel they can't take it anymore, right? Number three, the person who has a child that doesn't go to sleep ever. I accept that I have delicious children who give me lots of nachas. I can't accept the stress of a child who always falls asleep very, very late, misses the bus almost every morning, and gets me so uptight I can't even fall asleep when after bedtime takes 5 hours, right? And the last one, the person who's being mistreated either at home or at work. I accept that I'm in this amazing family, and I accept that I work in this prestigious office. I can't accept or tolerate being put down every day, taken for granted, deceived, or worse. So let's quickly review. So we established that we feel utterly powerless to fix a situation without Hashem's intervention. We also established that no situation is all bad. There are positives in each situation, but also there's an aspect of it that's really too much to handle. It's too much to bear. And it's unacceptable to us the way it is. So now, what's the next step, right? We want to get from I can't take it anymore to Simcha. Okay, so now the next step. We're going to zoom in on the part you can't accept, the part that's making you say, I can't take it anymore. I can't accept being childless, but have I tried everything yet? Maybe my husband and I should plan a trip to a big tzaddik's kever and say Tehillim together for an hour next Sunday. I'll mention it after supper tonight. All right? Specific thing that you could do right now to make your situation possibly better. Number two, the person with the chronic pain. I can't accept this chronic pain. But have I tried everything yet? Maybe I should try calling the number my best friend gave me of that top chiropractor. I'm going to call him first thing tomorrow morning. Concrete step, right? Number three, the one whose kid just won't go to sleep. I can't accept the endless bedtime routine, the frantic mornings with this child, and my own perpetual exhaustion. But have I tried everything yet? Maybe it's time to start that child on melatonin. And hire a capable high school girl to take over bedtime once a week so I can get a break. I'm making those phone calls right now. Concrete step to help yourself. Number four, what if someone's being very badly treated by someone at home or at work? I can't accept abuse, but have I tried everything yet? Maybe it's time to consult someone who this person respects for some suggestions, meaning that that person will listen to. Or maybe it's even time to consider being a part from this coworker, this boss, or this family member. I will do what I need to do to get this rolling. So what you're essentially doing here is you're taking the keys back. The key to your simcha is not completely out of your hands. You don't have to feel that utter powerlessness. You thought it was hopeless, but maybe it's not hopeless just yet. So the next time you hear yourself either muttering or shrieking, I can't take it anymore, see if you can replace those 5 words, I can't take it anymore, with a code word. We're going to call it triangle, which stands for I'll try another angle, right? I'm going to try another angle and Hashem, please help me. Mrs. Nauman, if you have to get off, you just let me know.
I could still listen. It's so good.
Okay, it's
Thank
only
you.
another few minutes.
Good.
Besides asking Hashem to help us, we should also make sure that the hishtadlus that we choose to do can be considered something Hashem would want us to do, an effort or decision that Hashem would be masking to. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know if what we're doing is in that category or not. So just want to end with a very short story that illustrates this point. There was somebody, did you ever hear of the Tshortkova Rebbe?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so I guess I did. I that's this my this first time I'm here, I heard of it. And so this happened. My father told me this happened in 1912, believe it or not. There was somebody who told him, there was someone who was living in Vienna. He had very difficult parnassa, and he was struggling to support his family. And like many other people at the time, he figured, I'm going to go to America, the land where the streets were paved with gold, right? I knew America was a spiritual wasteland at the time, the person says, and that traveling there was a risk of ruchnias. But we needed the money, and I thought this is the right hishtadlus. I bought a ship ticket. I went to get a bracha from this Rebbe, the Tshortkova Rebbe, And I told him of my plan and why I was traveling to America. And he smiled at me and he said, "Ah, I've been waiting to meet someone traveling to America for some time now. Can you carry an important message for me?" "Of course I can," the man said. "Anything for the Rebbe." "Excellent," said the Rebbe. "Please send my regards to the God of America." "The God of America? What does that mean? Is there a different God in America than here in Vienna?" "Exactly," said the Rebbe. "The same Rabbi Shalom who is here is there, right? His honor fills the entire world. So why are you traveling to America at the risk of your ruchnius? The God who will support you there can support you here." And the man says, "Then and there, I decided to cancel my ticket and remain in Vienna. And luckily, I canceled that ticket because it was a ticket on the Titanic." Interesting, huh?
Wow.
So it's funny because I was supposed to start at 10, I added other things, but now that it's 10:30 and we started late, I can finish on time. And I'll just say that I was told to tell people that if they want to be on an email list for reminders before the shiur and playback recording of the shiur afterwards, you just have to text or WhatsApp the word Jake, Jake, to this number, 917-626-8306, 917-626-8306. And if anyone has any questions or comments, they can email me at the email address that's listed on the website, which is undiscourageable@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.
Thank you. It was great. I loved it.
Thank you
Thank you.
so much. Thank you.
Yeah.